lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Jimmy Boy.
T Shaz, we're back.
We are back, and it was a big week of motorsport. Portimao, put you on notice, James. What a track.
Yeah, it is a great track. Roller coaster track.
Yep.
It's a very cool track. Does it produce the best racing, though?
Well, sprint race was probably one of the best of the year.
Probably the best, yeah.
But yeah, main race did a little bit of a stink. I mean, I think we had high hopes because we thought that Alex would, you know, as soon as he passed Pedro, he was going to come pretty hard at Pez. But
2 weeks in the
race, never eventuate.
You know, autistically don't appreciate it because I haven't played it on the game.
Yeah, okay, that's very autistic.
so I don't know like the layout properly. Where...
Nah, it's a fucking awesome track. There's no rest.
You're right.
Even coming over the crest on that, you know, that to the first turn. That first corner, I'm going to say, is probably the hardest braking point in the whole year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I actually have a note that's saying that. How there's no rest at Portimao.
No, it's just unbelievable. It's unrelenting. And what a Grand Prix circuit. I love this track. It's in my top three, I think, of the year. So I really enjoy the racing. It was a great weekend. And we'll get into it shortly. But obviously, we just want to thank our partners at Moto Heaven.
MotoHeaven.com.au. Get around them. They've got a early drop, I believe, on 10% off dry ride and 15% off LS2 helmets. So get around that. Head to motoheaven.com.au. Early drop on Black Friday, I should say.
Beautiful. And guys, loving all the love on YouTube, Instagram. Please like, subscribe, and follow. And then our Patreon, extra chats half an hour after this lovely episode.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to talk about F1 in the Patreon app. We're going to concentrate on MotoGP for tonight's ep, just because we've got full knowledge of it, and there's lots to talk about.
Yeah, so. And plus we've got our, if you are on Patreon, you get on our Patreon, so we do a hot takes every week and you're automatically entered. So no matter what you write, you will be read out on our Patreon for all our Patreon members.
Yes, 100%. Just before we start, I just want to get your thoughts on this $12,000 special edition Marquez helmet.
So €6,990, which is for us Aussies about $12,300. Look, it's cool. It's wild because every manufacturer, most of them will do like a world championship helmet. Like Augusto Fernandez did one in Moto2, I guess. Like, you know, it's not the same. Bagnaia do one, Curdy? Championship helmet?
Swami.
Juan Mir did one. An AGV as well. And they're like, let's just say $2,000 Aussie. This one, 12.3, is wild. But the difference is it has all the sponsors on it. It's signed. Like, you can't get it. Like, it's a proper helmet.
Hand signed.
Yeah, hand signed. Yeah, well, and obviously only 93 in the world. So, good luck getting one.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're probably already pre-sold, I suppose, aren't they?
I guess so. Like, so, I don't know how it works.
And then you think this will appreciate in value over time?
I think it will appreciate in value over time. Like, so, like Curdy and I have been in the bike industry here. So normally a helmet, even a world championship helmet that's like a replica, will go through like a supplier in Australia or United States, and then they'll allocate how many they want into each shop and everyone gets a chance. Where this one doesn't even go through like Showy. It just goes through the Mark Marquez shop.
Yeah.
So it's just so exclusive.
Yeah, well, my quick calculations, 12,000 times 93 is like $1.18 million.
Are you Rain Man?
Just in my head, I just did that. and you'd probably think cost price for that thing would probably be the $180,000. So they're probably making $1 million on these things.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so.
You might as well cash
in while you can, you know?
It's very cool. It's like the helmet, you know, that it's more than a number. It's tired of Rossi. Like, it's cool. And it's got all the sponsors and all the small stuff that, I don't know. Like, it's going to be a very easy sell. Only 93 of them in the world.
Yeah.
There's 93 Rich Dog Marquez fans where 12 and a half G's is nothing. People blow that the night out, bro. They do.
You're right. Yeah, I know you're right. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, it's 12,000 for the people looking at that's nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. So,
yeah,
it's a cool piece of memorabilia to have, definitely.
When they have a $1 million car.
Yeah,
like, it's literally peanuts.
All right, I'm going to run into results, Jimmy Boy. Marco Bezzecchi, first place. We'll get into that soon because that was an amazing ride. Alex Marquez, second. Pedro Acosta, third. Aldeguer, fourth. Brad Binder, fifth. Yamaha in Quartararo, sixth. Aigura, seventh. Digia, eighth. Zarco, ninth. And Pol Espargaro does it again, top 10. Definitely some pace from the KTMs, huh?
Yeah, like, look, Brad Binder's been a fan. I think he got fifth or sixth last year. But KTMs are getting there. Like, I don't know. Still, jury's out for me in KTM. Like, it was, Brad Binder's still up and down.
Yeah, it was hard for Acosta because I'm looking at him and he performed so much better in the sprint.
Mm.
And I'm waiting for him in the main race. And it came probably late, which was unexpected because you know how that rear tire just disintegrates on that bike. But obviously, they're getting on top of it. Three bikes on the top 10.
Mm. With a test rider.
And Bastianini had that issue with Morbidelli at the start of the race and retired the bike, I believe. He went back out. But for me, it's really good signs for KTM, really good signs for Aprilia. Mm. Like,
staying on KTM, like, you're 100% right. It is really, really good signs for KTM and what they're doing. And they are progressing forward, and you can see them progressing forward. And they've got one of the most talented riders on the grid making that bike work. But they're still, I believe, they're still a little bit off. There's still that gap between KTM and Aprilia and KTM and Ducati for sure.
Yep.
And I think Pedro Acosta would still be getting annoyed that he's not winning yet. I really do.
Yeah, you had him this week. It was looking good all weekend. It was looking really good.
It was. And look, you know, you called Bez, which is a great call as well, and Alex Marquez. Like, the three that we thought were going to be fast were fast.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like, we talk about it all the time on this podcast, but how the sprint just doesn't mean, it doesn't translate to the Grand Prix. And it's just, and Pecco Bagnaia is a perfect example of that, because he just can't ride a sprint bike with a sprint tank set up, but then he can ride a Grand Prix bike traditionally, not maybe four rounds.
If you don't know, he's DNF'd the last four Sunday Grand Prix. I mean, that's it's unheard of. And then now Bezzecchi moves into third place in the championship as well.
And we'll get to that. But I got a question for you. Early prediction for you for Pedro Acosta in 2026?
I think it's going to be much of the same we've seen the second half of this season. I think he's going to be on the cusp, but do I see him winning, you know, every second round or something like that? No. Thank God for Bezzecchi. Sorry. Thank God. Aprilia's thinking thank God for Bezzecchi.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was supposed to be a Jorge Martin year, and it's become a Bezzy light. Like, so much better than what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Back to Acosta, though. He's on the cusp, but it's just hard.
Is it the bike?
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, the guy's so talented, isn't he? I mean, where do you see him next year? He's going to have to win a race next year.
He's winning a race next year, if not a Valencia.
Valencia.
Yeah, but he's definitely winning a race next year. He has to. If he's not competitive next year, though, then he's finding another manufacturer, which I still think he's got one eye on the market anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got one eye on something. I mean, Honda would be perfect. There's rumors swirling about Bagnaia and Yamaha 2027 as well.
Bro, and you called that. I did. You called that like 6 months ago, which was wild.
Well, it just would make sense to me. Him and Quartararo team up in 27 would be a dream lineup for them. We'll see if that plays out. But yeah, for me, KTM are on so much better than where we thought they were going to be at the start of the year. Let's be honest. Like, this whole, not just the team, but the whole franchise, the whole bloody company was going under. And then their podium now in MotoGP, which I think is, you know, light years ahead than what I thought it was going to be.
And pretty consistent with Pedro. Like, look, Pedro Acosta is a savior for that brand at the moment in MotoGP. It's a shame with Maverick Vinales, because he was fast as well when he podiumed in Qatar before, obviously, you know, he had the tire pressure issues. And like, as well, Andrea Bastianini is fast on that bike. He just can't qualify. They're all struggling to qualify. You know, Pedro was on the front row this round, but that bike still needs one lap pace.
First front row of the year. Can you believe that? Mm. First front row of the year. I couldn't believe when I saw that stat. And they were really playing that in qualifying. But for me, your first front row for Acosta, you have to, this modern day MotoGP, you have to qualify on the front row.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. But we've spoken about this in one of our podcasts not too long ago, but MotoGP needs Pedro to be fast on that KTM. Like, I want him to stay on that KTM and be successful. You know, I don't want to see him jump ship and go into a Ducati and be fast. Like, yeah, it's great. You know, Marquez did it and that's awesome. But, you know, I want to see KTM build their bike, which they are, to a level where they can win. Or go on to a Honda or something like that, not just an Aprilia or a KTM.
I still would be cool if I see him on Aprilia. I just think you're right about going to Ducati. It's sort of, I don't know, take the sting out of it to a certain extent.
What's a more rideable bike? Aprilia or Ducati?
Reading today, which is really interesting columns that I was having a look at. It's like the Aprilia starts off practice at this point and then works its way through the weekend and then becomes the best bike by Sunday, where Ducati just seems to be the same all the way through the weekend. If Bagnaia comes out and he's got pace in practice one, he'll do really well. Mm. If he doesn't have pace or he's sort of mid-pack, it never eventuates for him. So, I don't know. For me, like, Aiguru up there again at seventh place. I mean, he's come back from injury as well.
Yeah.
Didn't seem... Obviously, Raul had that massive off.
Yeah.
And then you can't help... You can't really hope for anyone else. So, yeah, for me, it's still the Aprilia. All-round bike for me this year.
I think it is the most all-round bike in the market. And it's funny, going back to Bagnaia, traditionally, Pecco Bagnaia is a rider where he comes out super slow in FP1 and builds his way up like the Aprilia, as you're saying. But now, with him, you know, if he's not fast in FP1, then that's it.
Yeah. Man, talk about Mir for a second. What's going on? What happened?
We've got a lot of hot takes on Duan Mir, and there's a lot of conspiracies that Honda's purposely done it to keep their concessions. Because they're 18 points down. So if they score, I think it was 18 points roughly.
Yeah.
Then they move up to the next concessions team.
Oh, because I read that differently. Because they said that on commentary, and they said, they needed 18 points this weekend. Honda would be disappointed because they wanted 18 points for this weekend. I'm like, why would they?
Yeah.
You'd want a sandbag to stay
down
below. So I didn't even, like, I thought about that. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. But now you're bringing it up. Yeah. For me, I mean, concessions for me, I think, has changed MotoGP. I mean, we're talking about this. Like, it's done wonders for Honda. And for them to finish in a top five position in the last two races, does it really matter?
No. I know, it actually doesn't. But it's still stupid if that was the case, which I don't think so. I don't know.
There's way the Japanese would do that. Too conservative.
True. Actually, great. But remember, it's European run now after us. can't trust them.
Yeah, but Shucky Nakagawa still has a last laugh. You know, he still has a last. He's got to put the nuclear switch on or off.
Dr. Saruti Honda. Yeah. Dr. Saruti Honda. Doctor. It was like a clutch issue or something like that.
Twice, though.
Yeah, Juan Mir was banging his bike.
Was it a clutch issue? I actually saw today that it's a very unusual first corner because it's not hard braking. Mm. So they can't sort of lock that front fork down fully for the launch control. So I thought it might have been some launch control issues.
Maybe. But he was up in seventh in the second lap or something. So he was there or thereabouts.
Because similar to like Silverstone in Australia, the fast first corner.
Yeah.
Because you need that sort of high braking to release the.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting point. But yeah.
I don't know. I feel sorry for him. Like, if they're at least going to do a conspiracy, do it with poor old Mir.
Yeah.
Throw buddy Marini under the bus for once.
Well, Marini finished 11th. So, yeah, I mean, I think that conspiracy is a whole, that's a crock of shit.
Do you reckon in MotoGP, out of any sport, there's more conspiracies than that than anything? Formula One, there's got a lot.
Yeah, Formula One, there is a lot with Oscar Piastri at the moment. But again, it's not, they're not going to disadvantage a car. They might work harder for a certain person. I've said this multiple times about Marquez and Bagnaia this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to work harder for the guy who's winning the races. Like, it's just a natural human thing to work harder for the guy. And if you go, hey, Mark, how you going? Hey, how you going? And then you go, hey, Pekka, how you going? I don't want to talk to you. I'm pissed off. Of course you're going to like this guy better. And the whole thing's changed. The whole team's dynamic's changed.
It's like being a sales manager and, like, you're looking after your top salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to keep feeding him.
Of course you are. Keep him happy.
Yeah, you're going to keep him happy.
Keep him happy. I mean, it's hard for me. I don't... There's no way they're sandbagging. I'm telling you, there's absolutely no way that they've pulled the pin on, because it's such a bad look for the company.
Bro, you've actually hit a nail on the head with them being Japanese.
Yeah.
The Japanese just wouldn't sandbag.
The Italians,
they didn't even fucking retreat in World War II.
They didn't. There's still people on island thinking it's still going.
I watched a doco in Okinawa. Mm. Oh God, way off topic. Where they were the Americans went onto the island, and the Japanese women would just jump off the cliff
because
they were so terrified, or they didn't want to get... They'll just throw themselves off. Crazy, bro.
Yeah, crazy.
That's their mentality, but...
It is. It's kamikaze style.
Nakagami, Catalunya, 2023.
Mm.
I think he... eight-balled everyone. You know what I'm saying?
was it Barcelona? Was it...
Cody made a funny meme on it. back in the early days of the pod. Must have been 2023.
Well, it has to be 2023 then.
We didn't do a pod in 22, did we?
Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors?
Mate, the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au T-Shavs. They've been with us from the start. The absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shavs. So you can spend anything at motoheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope, it's Australia's largest range online, and we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business, and it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans.
But yeah, interesting Grassini up there with Alex and Furman. That was the other thing. And then, I mean, the big thing was Bulliger. What did you think of his weekend?
Well, I thought he did all right. What do you get? He got
a point,
and he was a second behind Miguel Oliveira, and he was fighting with Miguel for a lot of the race, and was only 2 seconds behind Rins. So, yeah, it's a pass. Like, what more do you expect out of a guy that's, you know, only just tested the bike and he's riding Marquez's bike on a very demanding track?
Phenomenal result from him, I think.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Like, I was really impressed. I thought he'd be out the back with Chandra, and he was not at all. So, he was fighting with some of the big boys there for a while.
Yeah, you're right. Look at this. 32 seconds he was behind Bulliger. He was only a second behind Oliveira and 2 seconds behind Rins and 3 seconds behind Miller. 4 seconds behind Luca Marini. Chantra, 61.999 seconds behind a lead, bro. Like, I know I keep harping on about it. Like, I understand.
We had a guy in the comments defending him the other day. I couldn't believe
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he saying?
Oh, he hasn't had a fair shot at it, all this stuff. But, dude, you're 2 or 3 seconds a lap off the pace, and it's just not acceptable.
Bro, Chancha's 20 seconds off Lorenzo Salvadori.
I reckon Diego Moreira was probably lapping faster than him in that track.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see that.
I've got a little bit of a question for you. I think they need to penalize the riders more going from Q1 to Q2. Because I'm seeing it time and time again, the guys that are going through Q1 are getting top five starts.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, You should be penalized, but it seems like you're actually getting more track time. You're understanding the conditions more, and they're going out and finishing both in the top five. I mean, it was so surprising for me. Miller qualified really well after coming through Q1, and then obviously Quartararo was top five in Q2.
Quartararo is always going to bank a good lap. Miller's a surprising one, but I like it because it does. It's not consistent enough. Where there's still plenty of Grand Prix where then they'll finish 11th and 12th.
I'm going to keep an eye on that for next year.
Yeah, I like that though.
Yeah, I just thought
Tommy's eye, they call that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, what do? They got one less set of tyres, obviously. But yeah, I mean, what do you do?
Bro, an extra 15 minutes, does it make that much of a difference? When they've all got, you know, hours of practice.
True, but they're getting...
It's just conditions.
Six laps on that track when the conditions are going to be identical.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's the conditions. You're right.
So, yeah. I mean, they've already had...
It's a good question.
They've already had half an hour from free practice 3 or 4, whatever you call it, I suppose, just before that. But, yeah, I don't know. Definitely the rain, it helps.
But you can't help that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, Pecco Bagnaia. 4 consecutive Sunday DNFs. And he lost the front with no warning. And how he lost the front is very Valentino Rossi reminiscent of the Ducati back in 2011, 2012.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, like RKO out of nowhere style.
Yeah, it came without notice, didn't it? Bulliger had the same problem as well in the sprint. Yeah, it's...
Bro, it's just not looking great at all. And it's funny because I wrote down in the notes... Bags not existent in fourth. Is that enough? Like, is that enough for Pecco Bagnaia? He was fourth, non-existent by himself.
Yeah, and just, it's so interesting for me, you know, 22, 23, watching him. He gets up to that position of fourth in the main race. You're like, oh, you know, he's going to win, you know. But you see him 1 second, 2 second, 3 second. I'm like,
That doesn't happen.
It's crazy.
Doesn't happen. I know. That's crazy. Not Peko Banyai, where if he's not a clear fourth by himself. Like, that's just not him.
There must be a fundamental issue with this 25 bike. Please take Marquez out of it. But there must be a fundamental issue, the inconsistency of this motorcycle. I mean, I just don't understand how it can dominate some weekends. Like, and Digia is another classic example. He can be in third, second, and then be out 15th.
But Digia, I can kind of understand, though, because he's always been like that. Like, he saved his career by you know, a few good qualifying and race sessions, and he's always been up and down. So you can kind of understand that to a degree, but he's supposed to be on the best bike on the grid, where Bagnolo's never been like that.
Well, that's true. He is Mr. Consistent, especially on a Sunday. And the other thing with me, he lost that championship to Jorge Martin because of the sprint.
Mm.
You know, he nearly lost it 2 years in a row because of the sprint. So he just, he needs to get that right, but then he drops it 4 weekends in a row. I mean,
I know, but him being in fourth was more telling. Him being in fourth by himself was more telling than him just crashing.
Mm.
That's just not the Peko Banyai anyone knows. Because, okay, if he crashes, we understand to a degree, like, it's been happening.
Mm.
But him just being in fourth by himself and not having any pace to catch a bike that's older than him, Pedro Acosta on a KTM is supposed to be nowhere near as good. And, okay, Bezzecchi is probably the second best rider on the grid right now. Like, that's more telling for me.
Well, yeah, I agree. And the other thing is Alex Marquez. I mean, do you really think Alex Marquez is a better rider than Peko Banyai?
Well, the stats don't say that.
You know, like, it just doesn't make sense. It's going to be really interesting next year, 2026. There's obviously this new shiny MY24 bike. Alex Marquez is going to be on the same bike. Peko on the same bike.
Mm.
And then we're going to have Marquez on the same bike. The other thing is, it should be more towards Peko because we're going backwards to the 24.
Yeah.
By the sounds of things. But what is that going to bring?
Well, what's that going to bring? Marquez won't be there for the Valencia tests. So as Gavin Emmett said on that podcast, you know, they might be listening to so much input from Banyai because he's going to be one testing that bike, obviously with probably Alex Marquez as well on a GP26. So you're not even going to have Marquez's input there, which I just don't think really is going to make a massive difference. But yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like. Next year is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. We say it every year. Every year we do say it, but there's so many interesting storylines on, and it's a great hot take on a couple of riders that we'll read out. But it's very fascinating on how it's going to play out with Ciccati and Banyai, because, you know, Jorge Martin's going to be back. How is that going to look like of Aprilia? But, you know, if Banyai has got the same issues next year,
jump ship.
See you later. Yeah. And I never thought that. And you have always been on that train, but I've never thought that. But I just can't see it, man. And even like what you were saying, I had I was speaking to a fella today, shout out to Gary, and he was talking about you. And he's like, I never thought about this, but Banyai walking into the pits with the sister and the girlfriend staring daggers, it has to be, bro. You're right. Like, it has to be an issue.
Dude, I know for my personal fucking opinion. And my personal, if that happened to me, dude, I don't want to be anywhere near that. I don't want the missus fucking desk. Why aren't you winning? Where's the money? You know? That's exactly what he's thinking. Because he would have that many win bonuses in his contract.
I think apparently it's all
majority.
Bonuses. Yeah, it's majority bonuses.
And he's won one race this year. Two races.
What was the second one?
Coda and Matei.
Yeah.
You know, and he would be thinking, 10 to 12 wins probably, minimum, you know, maybe if Marquez coming in less than that. But yeah, and that's a big thing. I mean, we forget about this all the time in this industry. It's still about money, you know.
Fuck yeah. 100% it is. That's why Quartararo said of Yamaha, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't blame him for that. But now he's got the money, he's going to run.
Yeah, but yes, by the sounds of things, but who knows? Who knows?
But staying on Banyai, but like even at the start of the year, like I was talking about this, like, how he approached the Marc Marquez situation, and he said he came out in the press. It's almost like he's too open. He came out in the press and said, you know, I was nervous how they signed Marquez. Like, that's already like letting your guard down against your biggest rival in a team Valentino Rossi was never saying shit like that to Lorenzo, and Lorenzo was never saying shit like that to Valentino Rossi. Like, they were always just butting heads, like, not giving each other an inch. You know, when Coda and that rain happened and everyone jumped off the bike, Bagnaia said, Marquez is the smartest on the grid. I'm just going to follow him. Like,
you're already mentally defeated, aren't you?
And I remember that comment. I remember saying on the pod, like, it just didn't make any sense to me on how you can... And it just... I think that really makes sense on how he is mentally defeated by Marquez coming on his bike, taking his engineers almost, like all the crew, like all that data, like they're all hovering around Mark. Then Mark just wins all these races. You've got the sister staring daggers, Passion Marco Bezzecchi. You've got the fucking missus saying, I want another Gucci bag. I can't afford the other Gucci bag because I'm not winning races.
It's a glorified how we're talking, but it's legit. Like, this is facts, you know?
It's
life.
It's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there must be those voices in his head is thinking, and he'd be thinking, like, am I good enough? Like,
I even remember when that sign happened and Marquez going to Factory Ducati, and I just a little bit in the back of my head said, geez, it's a bit unfair of Bagnaia. He's a double world champ.
Yeah.
You know, he's the king. He is the king of that team and brought them back up to the glory land. And they're just replacing him with the best, arguably the best ever. But thank fuck for Ducati they did that. Because
sliding doors
moment. If they sign, now this is a, what could have happened? They signed Jorge Martin. He flips it in the air and turn two at Sepang in test and injures himself. But Pecco's out in last, just crashing for fun. Dude, it would have been a disaster. And it's ended up being the best story, one of the best stories MotoGP's ever seen.
Sliding doors moment, that decision, for so many different reasons.
We're going to look back at this year, 2025 MotoGP season. That is going to be the thing that I always remember.
Yeah. And it, yeah. Bro, and like, you're right. Like, it's almost harsh. It's harsh on Jorge Martin because he won the fucking world championship and still couldn't get a factory Ducati ride. He was, you know, like, poised to be that man. He was on the satellite bike. Like, he was the next man up. And then I was thinking, it's harsh on Jorge. It's harsh on Bagnaia to a degree. More harsh on Jorge. But like, picking Mark is the smartest thing they've done. But it's, like, it makes no sense. And like, just with going back to Pecco's, you know, where he is mentally, like, bro, he's fucking fried. Like, he can come back from it, but he's got to have to start pulling results. Like, if he's not pulling results early in testing, he's not fast. And then if he's not winning the first three races next year and Marquez clean sweeps him, he's already looking for another ride.
You know, it's going to be a very interesting 2 days. Is going to be that Sepang test with Marquez back.
Yeah.
That will be probably, I'm going to say, the most important 2 days of next year.
And it doesn't, bro, it doesn't matter because the Ducati can't develop that much. Yeah, they can go back to a GP24. Mm. But remember, everyone else is going that much further forward as well with all their concessions.
Mm.
So it doesn't really matter if Marquez is missing these tests or what Bagnaia can do, because there's only such a little development that they can do on that bike.
Do you think the results are going to change that much next year?
No.
It's just going to be much of the same.
It's going to be Marquez.
Some will be Ducati tracks. Some will be Aprilia tracks.
It's going to
be... KTM will be there or thereabouts.
It's going to be closer.
Honda.
Yeah, it's going to be closer.
Yeah.
I don't think Marquez is going to win as many races. I really do think of the concessions, it's going to bring everyone together, but Marquez has still just got daylight.
That's why it's going to make it so exciting. I think next year, I know we're harping on it, but next year is going to be exhilarating. And it's also, the other thing is, we're getting to the end of this cycle of these regs, and usually the last year of the regs is the worst year because everyone's just... But 2021 F1 season was amazing.
Yeah.
And then MotoGP might have their 2021 F1 season next year.
Who knows? But like, you know, and there's so many storylines. There's Marquez, can he back it up? You've got Bez, you've got Jorge Martin coming back. Is he gonna be fully fit again, or is he gonna throw himself into orbit? You've got Pedro Costa, is he gonna win a race? You've got Toprak on a fucking Yamaha. Is Quartararo gonna be fast on the Yamaha? Is he going? You've got Diego Moreira on a Honda, you've got Diego versus Toprak, who's gonna be faster there? The battle of the rookies, like, there is that many storylines. I don't know how you're going to keep up.
No, very well said. Very well said.
Bro, talking about storylines, what's the future looking like for DGR? Because I can't... He's on fraud watch because he should be doing better than this. But I don't... I don't know with this VR46 team, bro. I'm not convinced on this team.
Yeah, it's
I know I'm harping on about VR46, but like, what's Digia doing?
Well, first of all, Digia for me, yeah. I mean, we talk about Bagnaia being inconsistent, but he's right up there this year, right up there.
He's not crashing as much, maybe.
No, he's not. But he's, I mean, he should be. He's got the factory bike now. I don't know. Well, I mean, we just don't know about this 25 bike. I know, and we can say it every week. What's going on? But inconsistent. The team, is it poorly run? Have they got the right riding engineers every weekend to set the bike up properly? That's the other thing, and that's what we don't. Not a lot of people think about that. Carcetti for Grassini,
Frankie Carcetti.
I mean, the most Italian British guy in the paddock. He must just have such an eye for, you know, I'm not sure they can do much with tire pressures, but suspensions and rider setup and all these electronics they've got on the board as well. I mean, you just have to have such a fine art for this. Do they have the right people to do the job?
I don't know. Like, I think Morbidelli is past it, and I don't know how he's going to ride next year. Digia's on a 25, which is supposed to be the best bike on the grid, which means you got to be top five in the championship. If you're not top five in the championship, you're not doing your job.
Yep.
Where Alex Marquez is obviously going to be getting full factory bikes, will be interesting next year. But VR46, you know, you put down, and I might have as well, as being the top independent team for next year, this year.
Be the biggest surprise.
Biggest
for me.
Surprise. I thought
they were going to be top five consistently, both those riders.
With both those riders on, one's a factory Ducati and one's a GP24, supposed to be better. They've just been so up and down, and it has to come back down to the riders. Yes, it's the team environment where, I feel like the team environment within Grassini, just looking on the outside, looks so much more relaxing and just more of a family team, which it is, compared to VR46.
Yeah, I mean, Trackhouse is in that same category. We've had some personal experience with them and they were fantastic. You know, everyone's pretty relaxed and cool running, sort of sure of themselves, where VR46, very closed off.
Yeah, and we haven't had experience with VR46 or Grassini.
Correct, yeah.
Just to clarify. So, but we're only looking on the outside.
Of course.
But it just seems, I don't know, I don't understand it. I just don't understand their results not living up to where they should be.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be like, I had them going to be the biggest surprise, and at the end of the year, I'm probably going to have them as my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, and VR46 as a fan base, it's just, there's not that many fans for the VR46
team. You're right. I mean, they got some cool merch. I really like their merch down at Phillip Island when we had a look. I thought it was really, really cool. But yeah, not many people have jumped on board.
Which is strange. I just don't know where the future lies.
The times are changing.
The times are changing.
2025 is a year of change for the fan base, I think. The Marquez gravy train is just keeping on rolling, especially 1 and 2 in the championship.
Yeah.
Being a Marquez fan now is not an embarrassing thing or
to be scared of.
You're trying to hide from it. It is like you wear the colors with pride, you know?
Yeah.
I watched the Formula One this morning and there was a kid on the screen and he was going like this. Yeah, in Brazil. And he had a Marquez hat on.
Really?
Yep. 93 Marquez hat.
Fucking hell. I know.
So the whole world, it's changed and it's a good thing for the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Everything changes and develops. And speaking of change, I think that they need to do an overhaul on that rider lineup at least for next year for VR46.
I know. They need some young talent, but the problem is,
where's the Italian talent coming from?
There's no Italian.
And does it work? Putting on Italians?
Well, it's like Michael Laverty
or Aussies or whatever.
Michael Laverty in Moto3 has to have British talent coming through. And I don't know if this for a fact, but you know, it sounds like he's half gone. Well, no, I want to win. So he's signed Joel Kelso for next year.
Yeah. And he's got an Italian riding on at the moment. I think he got top 10 or top 12 last round. So
not necessarily. I think it's probably an experiment that hasn't worked, but you know what? They're pretty stubborn, the old Italians. So.
Oh yeah. Good luck changing their minds.
But you know, if Valentino Rossi's invested the money, owns a team, blah, 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 and he wants Italian young talent to come through to the team, I get it. It's cool.
You
spent the money. Like, that's fair call. But you got no one in Moto2. Tony Arbolino's not coming up. Celestino Vietti's, I don't know, talk about inconsistent. And then in the junior class of three, I mean,
Guido Pini.
Yeah, but he's away.
Yeah, no one's going to that team. Like, you know, there was talks of Acosta, Spanish, obviously, and Fermín Aldeguer as well. But, like, what? They're going to bring back Banyaya to go down onto the VR46
team. It's not cool anymore, though, is it? Like, signing for that team would be 2 years ago. It was like, oh, that's so cool signing for that team. Now it's like,
I think I'd rather go to Grassini. Well, yeah, and look how Bez has progressed leaving that team. Now he's the second best rider on the grid on a factory bike. Like, you still want to be on that factory bike. Yeah. You know, like, it's just... we've harped on about it for probably too long, but it's just... Like, for that VR46 team, it's just very strange. It's very, very strange. And I just don't get... You know, and bro, like, what's his name? Morbidelli. Like, what's he doing?
Yeah, he's just... I mean, even the incident that he had, I mean, it was, you know, it was... A little bit of Bastianini going up the inside like Marquez and Bagnaia did last year. But, you know, he jammed it up the inside. He ran wide. Then he cut back through.
Isn't he in the line of sight? I don't know. He's looking through the corner. Well,
he hit his back, you know, the back right quarter panel. So, like, yeah. I don't know. You see that all the time with Quartararo, those reactions. Remember the last corner at Sepang? Yeah. I was like, how the fuck does he react in time? I know. And like, Morbidelli just probably doesn't have that, you know? So
I don't think he's fucking got a lot of things.
It was good to see Zarco have a bit of form because, you know, Lucio Ciccanello sort of half-baked him in the media, said he's just lost all his confidence. So that was good to see him back. He lost the tyres at the end, but, you know, it was still good to see that. I can't believe Pol Espargaró is in the top 10 again. That's just wild to me. You know, beating Marini and Miller and, you know, these bigger names, I suppose. So, that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive. There was a few good rides. Like, Zarco is an interesting one. He's another story for next year, man. Like, he's on a full factory bike. Factory-backed bike, like, you know.
Oh, that's what our Chancha friend said. He goes, oh, no, the Chancha's not on the full 25 bikers on the 24, and that was the worst bike ever built. That was his excuse.
Yeah, fucking look at Zarco.
So yeah, there you go.
You know, like, it's just, and you know what? It's not a 30-second difference behind fucking Nicolò Bulligo or Lorenzo Savadori. Like, come on, man. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, he's 22 seconds behind Savatori as a test rider. But inside that, Pol Espargaró is a test rider. He's top 10. It's amazing.
Bro, LCR is a team to be on now, though. Like, not the team to be on, but it's a fucking good team to be at. With Zarco, and now you've got Marrera. Like, that's a good family-run team. They get big backing from Honda. It's good to be there. They've got factory bikes for next year. Like, they are a team to watch out for next year, you know, and could be the, you know, most best improved or whatever as well for next year. So,
And like, we're going to get on to Moto2 now, but that, I mean, Diego Mura, he's the real deal.
He is the real, you know, fucking deal.
He's not getting signed. Yes. But having that Brazilian nationality was an advantage with Brazil coming next year. But dude, the way he raced, and shout out to Colin Dwyer as well in second, but the way he raced in that Grand Prix was amazing when he's fighting for a championship. We've got all the... And again, our boy, Gav Emmett, called it. All the momentum. It's amazing, isn't it? All the momentum coming through. And he could have stayed behind Colin, let him have the win.
Yeah.
But no, he goes for the win. 24 points ahead.
He's won it.
He's won it. You know, he has won it. So, amazing.
It is. Do you got results there?
Yeah, so Diego Marrera first, Colin Vaya, our boy second. Congrats to him. Is that his second year, James?
This is his first year, and I've got some points on
Colin
Vaya. I
always keep forgetting that for some reason.
Because he was injured for like the first 10 rounds.
That's right. And he had 2 years on Moto3, didn't he?
At least.
Yeah. David Alonso very quietly in third. Aaron Canet fourth. Barry Beltas fifth. Manu Gonzalez, 6th. Danny Helgado, 7th. Albert Arenas, 8th. Senna Aegis, 9th. Came from about 14th to 9th in the last few laps, which was really impressive. And then Izan Guevara in 10th place. So, stack field, as I always say.
Alex Ekskrig in 12th on the Ford factory team, which is an absolute shooter of a motorcycle.
Yeah, he was
which
up
is
there.
Like their own, Ford is their own chassis. Yeah. He's actually been doing all right the past few rounds.
Yes,
so.
He's been up, like he's been, Shout names out. Been mentioned, and I think if your name being mentioned in Moto2, you're doing something right because there's just 20 guys that are always there or thereabouts. So.
Colin Vaya, bro, he is my, like, for talking about for next year, he's going to be one of the fast ones. Like, bro, he's had, like, almost no testing on that Moto2 bike. He would miss, like, the first at least 6 to 10 races on that bike with an injury. And then he's just been building and building and building, being faster and faster and faster. He suits Moto2 and he's going to be quick. He's going to be quick with David Alonso and Danny Holgado next year and Manny Gonzalez. Like, they're going to be the ones that are going to be fast.
Yeah, Colin, he's just been improving, you know, each week.
Each week, yeah.
And he's got to be the favorite to take probably Binder's ride in 27. When you think of it like that as well.
Yeah, bro. Fuck, who knows, man. That's still a scary seat to jump on as KTM.
I mean, hopefully that whole situation with them settled till...
But even then when it's not, like, they still haven't... KTM still hasn't done anything where they've never been in a world championship position.
But in saying that, if Colin finishes third in the championship next year, for example, because I'm seeing David Alonso winning that championship next year, let's be honest.
It's either David Alonso or Danny Holgado, so, in my mind.
Him being on that Red Bull KTM IO squad, he's going to have some sort of, you know, push towards that KTM
seat.
And he's not going to really have much choice. So I think that's going to be probably the right move for him.
Of course.
Because he might not have another choice, you know.
Well, yeah. But he's got some serious, serious talent.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. Again, we've talked about 26 a lot, but... That championship is really, really going to be... you'd assume Manu Gonzalez, you'd hope that he could finally put it away. But, you know, it's going to be David Alonso's show next year, I'm sure.
This is... look, who knows? I think it's going to be harder for David than what people think. See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Check this out, though. Brazil, Netherlands, Colombia, Spain, Belgium. Top five. That's
great.
Fucking healthy,
it's
isn't
awesome. It? Awesome. Yeah.
It's really healthy.
There's an Aussie in the top 10 as well. I mean, it's... I can't forget about Senna for next year as well. The kid's only 19, 20 years old. So, you know, same age as David Alonso. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, David Alonso just looks about 8 years old. But now it's really exciting. I can't wait to see what Diego Moreira does next year. I cannot wait to see him run around in the Honda. And look, he thoroughly deserves that. I think that's a great, 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 great seat for him to be on, is that LCR Honda and taking it from Chantra. Because... you know, he was faster Moto 3 and how he went into Moto 2 last year. Like, he was already quick.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the start of the year, if you chose one rider to go up to MotoGP, it wouldn't have been probably my top three would be Moreira, and he's found that seat.
He's always for some reason been like an underdog.
Yeah, I just don't, like, I just saw Manu going up to be honest with you, and it was sort of a race for that other seat. But for me, he's just taken the bull by the horns and, you know, he's going to run away with his championship, which has just been an amazing result, which I didn't see happening at all.
No, he's just like...
Danny Holgado for next year as well, James. Yeah, keep forgetting about him. Yeah.
He's going to be quick. I think he got Rookie of the Year for Moto2.
Rookie of the Year for Moto2.
Danny Holgado.
Yes.
Aaron Canet, I don't know what he's going to do next
year. He's going to Superbox, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, is that what he's doing? I think
he's
pretty
sure that's confirmed.
Yeah, something along those lines. Moto 3, big dog.
All right. So, Maximo Quiles in first place. Angel Pequeira second. Furisato third. Joel Esteban fourth. Alvaro Capé fifth. Casey O'Gorman sixth. Who the fuck is that, James
Irish.
Shaw? Talk me through that one in a second. Joel Calso seventh. Scotty Ogden, 8th. Adrian Fernandez, 9th. And Luca Lanetta. Now, take this one away, Jimmy boy, because T-Shavs had a bit too much to watch in the morning this morning. Didn't get a chance to watch Moto 3. So, talk me through it.
Well, look, our boy Joely Calso was gambled on the soft tyres. There was only two riders, him and I believe our boy Cormac Buchanan, gambled. And, like, the credit to Joel, look, he tried his absolute best to break away, but bro, breaking away from Moto 3 is so fucking hard. Like, it's almost near on impossible. So he just got eaten up. I think he made a mistake on, like, you know, 10, 12 laps into the race. And then he was there or thereabouts in the podium battle and then just got eaten the last few laps. Like, destroyed tires, went down to about 8th. Casey O'Gorman's, I think he's just doing a few
rides for the rest of the year from Ireland, who is quick. Obviously, he's very quick in six. And I believe I remember when we did the pod with Scott Redding, he talked about Casey O'Gorman as a one to watch coming through.
Yeah, wow. It's a name that I've never seen before. So that's exciting for Ireland coming through as well. Another country that really hasn't had a lot of pedigree in the championship.
Not in Grand Prix racing.
I don't mind that from Joel, because at the end of the day, he's tried with the same tyre all year, been in that front pack and just gets... I'm not going to say he gets bullied out of it, but he just doesn't have that style, that aggressive style to win these Moto3 races. And it's disappointing from my point of view that he's not up to Moto2 next year, but hopefully things will change in the MLAB racing squad for next year.
I hope so. Look, it's next year, I think it's going to be the Max Aquiles show. Like, the guy's a rookie and winning multiple races. And, you know, we're obviously harping on about next year because we're at the end of the year. But he is looking like he is going to be the man to beat for next year. That's for sure. You know, and Tyra Furusato's had a good couple of rounds, man. Like, one and got a third here. So, like, he's doing pretty bloody good. So, and I think Joel Esteban took over for Jacob Rulston, I believe, and got fourth. So, not bad.
Yeah, it's really good.
Not bad at all.
Longest season of the year, isn't it? 21 races, never been done before, and we're going to the 22nd next weekend. So it's pretty incredible for MotoGP and the organization to, 22 races this year, being organized magnificently.
It has been. Yeah. It's
we had no issues with India and the visa problems or anything like that. So it's been one hell of a season for them.
Now we just need no flooding in Valencia and we'll be good.
We should be okay, I think. We should be okay.
Hot takes, big dog. Is that what we're up to?
We are, my friend. We are. Thank you for everyone sending them in, because we had a world record amount again this week.
A lot. There was a lot to go through. At @PaulRyan_, Diego Moreira to outscore Toprak next year as rookies. Kids is a freak.
Yeah,
I agree. I think this is the one I was talking about, the hot take. I think this is an awesome hot take.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think Diego Moreira on a Honda will outscore Toprak. Harsh on Toprak, I understand.
Yeah, if they're on the same machinery, I think Toprak obviously would have it. But yeah, for me, it's looking very likely. Dude, I think this Diego Moreira is going to take the world by storm. I really do. I just got a feeling that his kid is just going to, do amazing things next year. I don't know why.
He just seems like he is, man. He's got the pedigree. It's like, you know, someone put in a hot take, which I loved, I think around the Phillip Island weekend, where they said it's got shades of Casey Stoner. It really does.
Yeah.
It's really got shades of Casey
Performing Stoner. He's outperforming Casey, what he was doing, you know, in his career as well.
Yeah, Casey won races and 125s and 250s, but he never won a world title in the lower categories.
And you got to look at Diego Moreira's season on the second half of the year. I mean, I know Manu's gone just flown down and crashed and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, he's just taken the bull by the horns.
Yeah, he's ran off all that momentum, hasn't he? James _S1000RR. I believe this is one of the fellas that you drink beers. You basically steal their beers over Phillip Island.
Oh,
the Minions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my boys.
Good guys.
Awesome guys. Such nice guys.
Who is more deserving of a win this year, Fabio or Pedro? I'm going to say Quartararo, because he was right there in Silverstone. He had two hands on it.
61, half a dozen the other. 50-50 for me.
Yeah. Very
sorry to sit on the fence.
Yeah, everyone loves that. Definitely. Look, both been great, but Fabio, for what he's been doing on a Yamaha that's literally just a PW50. And he should have won in Silverstone. It's only fair. But racing and motorsport isn't fair sometimes, Tom.
That's true, my friend. That's very true.
Talk to Felipe Massa. Yeah.
That's a Mark Viduka pull that out of your ass.
Yeah, that was not bad, was it? At DSilver87S, a boy from the Jewel of the South, Grayson.
Oh, he's back. He was mining.
You were going to say that.
Fly out worker. He's back. He had 4 weeks on.
Don't get podcasts off when you're underground.
No, I don't. You don't. No reception or anything out there.
Siding lap. 5 minute warm up, then race. All this other shit is lame. MotoGP great again. Make MotoGP great again.
5 minute warm up, because they won't push the tires, so it would be useless. Don't like that one. He needs to get the oil out of his veins. No, because they're not
5 minute isn't long enough.
No,
that's a lap and a bit.
So
So he's saying siding lap, then they're warming up from 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they start the race.
Yeah.
So they're not gonna do anything on the warm up because they're just gonna wear their tires out.
Well, you can swap. I'm assuming you could swap tires on the grid, but imagine binning it in that warm up.
Yeah. Nah, Drayson. Nah.
Don't no good.
No.
Nah. Don't put him in the commish.
No, I don't think so. Keep him coming, but keep him coming. That's what his hot takes are all about.
At Tom McLennan, Dymo's finest. Honda sabotage Mir's bike so they can get continued concessions next year.
Oh, he called that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. All right.
Famously got a Phillip Island track a tattoo on his car.
Yes. Yeah, interesting. It was a great take. We actually brought it up during the main pod. So, yeah. I don't agree. I don't think the Japanese are too honest.
They are too honest.
Got to go to Japan and realize that these guys, you could leave your wallet out, you know, outside for a week and no one would steal it.
No.
You know. Classic example is Suzuka. They go, all the people go onto the track and they're waiting for the podium and there's no security. You can just jump into the pit lane if you want to. No one jumps in. In Australia, you have to have 100 security guards holding them back. Yeah. You know, different culture.
Australia, though, we're like just animals.
Yeah, we love a freebie as well, like grabbing the DRS signs and shit.
Yeah. Like, we're just animals. Like, there's, yeah. And then if you get drinks into Aussies, like, we're known. Aussies are known for being the worst, like, some of the worst tourists.
Yeah. Behind America, they're fucking terrible.
They are shocking.
And obviously, the obvious.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. They're number one.
Except our boy.
Yeah.
Except our boy, Papa.
But, like, you know, Aussies just, they'll take everything you can get.
Yeah.
They really can. We're bad at that, but it's kind of funny. At It's Cold Papa.
Hey, speaking of the devil.
Speaking of the devil. Martin could have never beat this combination of Bears in 2025, injured or not, just unstoppable.
Wow, that's a great call. If we had a fit Martin versus the current Bezecchi at this stage of the year, that's a really interesting call. That would have been a great fight, wouldn't it?
That would have been a great fight. We've
been robbed of that as well, buddy. Jorge Martin.
Just talk about, like, a fall from grace. Seriously, Jorge Martin. But, like, bro, Bez is the heart and soul of his Aprilia. And I've said it before. There's no, like, they can't replace that. Like, they can't replace that Jorge Martin next year. Like, there's always going to be resentment there.
Yeah. Oh, I still got hope for Jorge Martin.
What's he going to do next year?
I don't know, but we'll see.
Is he winning races?
Yeah.
Is he going to win a race?
Yeah, he'll win a
race. So, he's going to win a race. Bezecchi's going to win a race. Acosta's going to win a race?
No, I never said that.
But is he?
No, I don't think so. Imagine if he does it. That's terrible.
Alex Marquez?
Dude, I don't know.
Come on, bro.
I know.
Give me an opinion.
I just don't know. You got to talk. We got to post Valencia test and we'll talk, please.
This is just guessing.
Yeah, I need to sit down and calculate and get the Excel spreadsheet out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And the crystal ball.
Mark's obviously going to win races. Bez is obviously going to win races.
Alex Marquez can win races.
Alex Marquez isn't going to win a race.
Jorge Martin will win a race.
Jorge Martin's not going to win a race. It's going to be Mark, Bez, Acosta, Aldeguer, Bagnaia. And I'm going to throw one joker in there.
The thing is, it's so hard to win a Sunday Grand Prix. You don't realize until someone's 20 laps out in front and then their tires drop off the clear for, you know, you got pressure from behind from Mark Marquez for the majority of the thing and then he just passes you on the last. Like, it is so hard to win a Grand Prix. And we've seen that more like Jonas Folger, Saxon Ring 2017. You know,
Tech three before that, I reckon.
Monster Yamaha, and led the whole Grand Prix, and then got passed on the last lap by Marquez, just following the whole round.
Did he pass on the last lap? Was it?
Oh, it might have been two or three laps to go, but yeah, I was spewing. I had money on him that round. Spewing.
Does it enhance your experience of watching or not having money on it?
No, not anymore. No, I'm a big advocate of... I hate fucking sports gambling these days.
Yeah,
you're
really against it. Big sports gambler.
I was loving it, but I'm really against it now. I find it, if I put a bet on, I'm just concentrating on that and that's all I want to happen. And that's why I never bet on motorsport because, like, it's so frustrating when, for example, you bet on like Lewis Hamilton to win, but I don't like Hamilton. And then you just start going for him. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this does doesn't make sense to me.
Mm.
And I think the culture in gambling in Australia is, and probably a lot of listeners at home going, oh, what's this guy saying? But for me, like, I don't think we should just be watching sports bet commercials every second commercial, me watching sport. I think it's bad.
People get addicted to it. It's terrible, you know?
It's bad. It's a bad culture. Yeah, I agree. I've never been much of a gambler.
No.
The most gambling I did was I fell asleep on a roulette table once. It's pretty cool how cool I am. At Nikki D 3604. Will Martin accept being a number two rider next year if Bez is still strong? I think he would have to accept it. And I think Martin's going to start off as a number two rider. I don't think there's anything he can do. Like, Bezecchi has helped develop this bike into what it is now for the rest of this year. And Martin's going to have to do a fucking lot to prove himself. Yeah, and he's got to beat Bez.
Martin's not going to play second fiddle. There's absolutely no way. There's no way. He's going to come out next year full guns blazing, aggressive as ever. I don't know. I think we'll see a different Martin next year. I know you've written him off, but I don't think so. I know it's an easy thing to say, but I just really think that he's going to perform next year. The bike's awesome. He's still a star. He won a world championship, you know?
Bro, I get it, but he's a year behind Bez.
It's a new bike. It's a new bike.
It's kind of not.
It's a new start.
Nah. I don't even see him winning a Sunday race next year.
We'll have to have a wager on that. Just talk about betting, I reckon.
I think we might. But I just don't see him. I don't see Martin winning a Sunday race next year.
Got to remember, he came and had pretty much three full races this year, and one of them he finished fourth.
You know? He did.
So he came into Hungary unprepared, hadn't been on the bike, and then finishes fourth. I mean, that's an incredible result when you think about that.
It's an amazing result.
So I think there's a lot more left in that tank.
Outlier of a track, though.
100%. Yeah, I agree. But it's still fourth, you know, main still race. Fourth. Main race, and, you know, 25 long laps on a body that has been pulled from pillar to post this year.
He's fucked.
How many surgeries he's had and things that he's gone through. All self inflicted.
I'm gone pretty quiet, actually, Jorge Martin, on the socials.
Well, I think they probably finally hired a HR manager to tell him just to get off the social media. And
I reckon he's dumped his agent.
Yeah, hopefully.
Almost got the biggest payday of his life.
Choco, yeah. Fucking hell. Did you see the big Choc nose on Grassini? We got a message about that. Remember the guy with the massive Choc nose in the back of the paddock? Mechanic?
Yeah, did I point it out in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We got a message on that.
Yeah, we got a message.
He's part of the BNC.
Yeah, he was huge.
Select club.
Yeah, he was a massive thing. You wouldn't want him on bloody night out when you get a bag of coke. He'll gobble that shit up.
He would have a fucking eight ball to himself, I reckon. at boot _11. Bulliger should have Frankie Morbidelli's seat in 2027, and I like that.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
I think that's a perfect swapsies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's a good call. He impressed me this weekend. And I said
good attitude as well.
I said on the podcast last week that if he performs to a good ability, it's a really good thing for Toprak coming in, because you're comparing the Superbike to the MotoGP bike. And I think halfway through the weekend, Bulliger said, I was riding it like a Superbike, and I realized that you can't ride...
Yeah.
You know, the Michelin tires like you can the Pirelli tires. So, changed his whole way. And then, you know, he was looking all right in qualifying until he crashed. Mm. So, we'll see.
Nah, I like it. Like,
and qualifying out the back, 18th, you know, unexperienced on the bike, would have been so tough. Like, you know.
Difficult circuit.
And he crashed in qualifying, so he was out the back. I mean, it was just all on the back foot from there.
Yeah, and you're going to be on the back foot, bro, from fucking...
100%.
From the start. I just want to shout out this guy, Zanmar... Tin Jack, will Bez next year be Aprilia's main guy? Hawke, their second rider. Cheers from Slovenia. It's very nice. We've got some fans from Slovenia.
Tede Bacaccia, Terici.
Oh, there you go. _ George.Wall. Acosta brings the entertainment of MotoGP with no mark.
Yeah, it's true. Got to have that Spanish flair in there somewhere.
You do have to have that Spanish flair in there somewhere. I think he is, as you talked about... last week, how he's got the aura.
He does.
He's definitely got the aura there, which is, very cool. Bro, Valencia this weekend?
Yes.
Last round, bro.
I know.
What's going to happen?
It's been fun.
I know.
It's been really fun, mate. We've had a massive year. Highs and lows of the championship. Marquez, the high winning, and the Marquez, the low of breaking another bone. But... what's this weekend going to bring? I think we're going to see an unusual result because it's such a go-kart style track. Bagnaia usually strong around there, but I don't know. He's been strong around a lot of places he hadn't been this year. Not really in Aprilia track, I don't think. This is where a KTM could pop up.
That's what I'm saying. I'm back on the Costa again.
I think I might as well. I know. I think I see a Costa winning this race.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think it's either going to be a Costa or an Alex Marquez.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
It's just those three. It's just those three, isn't it?
Yeah. They're like the 2020 second... They're like the last third of the calendar aliens for 2025.
You know who would have been a smoky for this weekend, but he's injured now? Rael Fernandez. He loves that track. His favorite track of the year on Aprilia. It would have been interesting to see, but we'll never see. Iguro might be up there. I reckon he might be a little bit of a sneaky top five because he's come back and he's injury free by the looks of things. So
what's Bags going to do?
Probably crash five in a row.
Fuck. He could go out and win.
Yeah, he could. We've just kept all options open for him because who knows?
Like you don't know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah.
Diego Moreira is going to sell the title. 24 points.
Dude, I just fucking realized. Can we fucking keep... We've got to keep Monday night free. We've got testing Monday night.
Oh, true.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do? We're going to have to fucking...
We're going to have to put the TV on in the background or something. Yeah.
Jeez, we might even...
We'll have to have a fucking party.
Yeah. It's only one day testing, isn't
it? I believe so.
Because it used to be two. I always get confused by that. Because I reckon one year, like I've turned it off. I said, I'll watch it tomorrow night. Then I woke up the next morning and go, fuck, it's not on.
I know. We will watch all 8 hours. It's actually better than some Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting, really exciting.
And, how do you back up though, bro? Winning a Moto2 world title that Diego Moreira looks like he's gonna do, and then celebrating, he's probably fucking known he's South American, getting on the bags and shit, and then jumping on the MotoGP bike hungover the next morning.
It is the next morning,
or the day after.
It might be the day after, because they have the gala the next day. Do they?
No, they got it that night.
Yeah, okay.
It might be on a Tuesday. You might be right, actually. So it might not be when we're doing pod.
Yeah. So yeah, stay tuned for next week's pod.
I'm sure they come in hungover though. They always talk about it.
And then the next week we'll have probably a bit of a testing review. So, guys, we'll continue having a chat. Jump over to Patreon now. Curtis is flying out to Canberra, so he's got to get home. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See you on the Patreon.